Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. We are being healthy in studio today. And how do you live life after cancer? You make it through all the perhaps surgeries, treatment, things like that. What's life like after cancer? What are some of the questions, the tough realities we might face? And how do we survive and not just survive, but thrive after cancer? Joining us by phone this morning, Karen Tripp. She's president of Cancer Companions. Karen, welcome.
Welcome. That's great. I'm happy to be here.
Thanks for being my guest again. Always love sharing about Cancer Companions. Tell me a little bit about what Cancer Companions is and what is the work of Cancer Companions today?
Cancer Companions is a ministry that goes into churches and trains volunteers how to run their own Christian cancer support groups, as well as connecting with people one-to-one. And so these volunteers end up serving people that are in treatment, post-treatment, as well as all their loved ones. And so it's a thriving ministry that has everything from training programs to videos and devotionals and ceremonies and all kinds of equipment to be able to help volunteers really make an impact on a person's life.
Karen, you're a licensed marriage and family therapist, right?
I am.
And so what was it? Was it something in your practice, in your profession, that prompted you to start Cancer Companions?
Well, initially, I would say there was a personal component. I'm not a survivor. My father was. My father was a 23-year colon cancer survivor, and my stepmother died of breast cancer back in the early 90s. And so that's some of my personal story that I brought to it. But then, yes, I think that there just really became, as I was a Christian counselor, and I went around doing Christian cancer support groups through Lutheran Foundation all over St. Louis, and just really saw the need to be able to minister directly to people within the churches. And I could see that there were great opportunities to train volunteers to basically do what I was doing. And that's kind of what Cancer Companions really is.
Very good. And have a great event coming up in the near future we're going to talk about here in just a moment. In studio with me today, Keith Whittemore. He's a board member for Cancer Companions and also a cancer survivor and MC of the upcoming event for Cancer Companions. Keith, welcome.
Thank you.
Glad to have you in studio. Keith, tell me a little bit about why you got involved with Cancer Companions and the American Cancer Society as well as St. Louis. You serve on the board for them as well, correct?
That's correct.
Why did you get involved in these organizations?
I was diagnosed with prostate cancer back in 2008 and wound up going through surgery and then followed up with 37 daily radiation treatments. And a lot of the information that I obtained on how to get through this came off the internet, which is the worst place for you to go. I wound up getting hooked up with the American Cancer Society shortly after I finished my radiation treatments, and they gave me a really good understanding of where to go find accurate information about what's going to happen to me. And through that that effort, I wound up meeting Karen earlier this year in an opportunity when I went through training with her Cancer Companion program. And the passion people have after you've heard those words, you have cancer. It can either be a passion to go downhill or it can be a passion to go and find a way to live on. Fortunately, I have had the opportunity to run into the right people at the right points in my life to really find a way to live on. And my faith really came into fruition when I had actually finished with all my treatments. I really had an opportunity in life to really start exploring it a lot more. And when Karen came along, her organization was something that really hit home with me because I'd been working on the American Cancer Society side of, you know, trying to get out there and help find a cure, help, you know, get information to people. The faith aspect of it was something that I was holding very close to me. And when one of our ministers at our church came to me and said that she was getting ready to start a cancer ministry at our church, I said, sign me up. And I didn't even know it was Cancer Companions. Then she told me about Cancer Companions. I did a little research myself. It was an amazing opportunity to take the two passions I have, you know, Christ and, you know, fighting cancer, and put them together. And so Karen's been a blessing to be able to participate in this process with me.
Who was it who supported you through You mentioned earlier when you found out you had cancer, you just started researching online, or, you know, searching for information online. But who was it that supported you through that journey? You mentioned you had treatments and surgery, right?
Correct.
For the cancer, who was it that supported you? Who was your network of support through that?
My primary network was my wife. Mm-hmm. My wife was there for me day in, day out through the from the time I met with the doctor and heard the words through the time I had my surgery and then going into all of my treatments. So she was the one that was available to me to really be a sounding board to tell me that life was going to go on, that we were going to have a life together. And it wasn't until after I had finished my treatments that I wound up joining Bonham Presbyterian and getting to meet people there. It kind of helped trigger even a greater support system for me. So to start with, it was my wife and my kids. You know, I've got two wonderful kids and recently a grandparent, but well, that's another story. So it started off with family. It really did start off with family. And then it came from other cancer survivors through my Relay for Life and the American Cancer Society affiliation that I had. The folks that I really participated with, you know, in learning about cancer and the effects and how to get through it, all through my Relay for Life and American Cancer Society opportunity, those were the people. And that's why I'm really thrilled that Karen's doing this, allowing us to learn how to become support members in our church and develop a program in our church to where I can repay that and be there for other cancer survivors.
Mm-hmm. Karen, you have an event coming up in the very near future. Tell me about this retreat for cancer survivors.
Yes, it's called exactly what it is, Christian Cancer Survivorship Retreat. And it is going to be an incredible weekend, November 4th and 5th at Mercy Center in St. Louis. Which is a wonderful facility to be able to go and have retreats at. It's kind of plunked down right in the middle of St. Louis, and yet you feel like you're a million miles away. It's just very secluded and nice, and we're looking forward to the location. But the idea of the weekend really is to be able to look at what happens after that last treatment and being able to help not only the people who have struggled through their bodies being diagnosed with it, but also their loved ones. Cancer Companions likes to take a very broad family-style approach to being able to serve folks that are coping with cancer. And so we're going to have folks that are have a nutrition expertise. They're going to be in talking about how to be able to have proper nutrition in post-treatment as well as exercise. We have a wonderful speaker coming from Live Strong that's not only going to teach us but also show us an exercise class that we'll all participate in. And then we also have an oncology nurse that will be coming in and talking about the side effects. And so the physical side and the practical side of how do I cope with cancer is definitely covered. And then in addition, I have written a four-part Bible study that we'll be doing through the retreat that kind of looks at the spiritual growth that ends up happening post-treatment as well, too. Many people end up having that diagnosis and it comes and they kind of put their armor on to just get through it, you know, and that's okay. Just get through the next scan, just get through the next test, just get through the next treatment. And that's not a bad way to cope with it. But many times post-treatment, 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 years, 10, 15 years, people are kind of still in that place, kind of like, what was that? What was that to just happen? And what was God up to in the midst of all of that? And how do I make sense of this out of my life? And so we're going to kind of face that level of looking at cancer after treatment as well.
Keith, what were some of the things that you thought might be different after cancer? Some of the questions you had, you know, now that you've made it through the surgery, the treatment, all of that, were the things that you anticipated would be different after cancer? What were some of the perhaps difficult realities that you faced after making it through all that?
Well, with prostate cancer, it's a disease that really affects men, and it's one that, you know, until I actually had a chance to get my head around what was going to happen to me, I really didn't understand what the long term was going to be. Mm-hmm. My wife and I have come to that realization that it has definitely had an effect on our lives. It is it it you know, to be blunt, it's an intimacy that has changed, and we've learned to love each other in totally different ways. And so for whether you've got breast cancer, you got colon cancer, you got prostate, there is something that is going to change in your life physically, mentally. You know you're a survivor. You know you've survived something. And when I take a look at the difficulties in my life now, whether it be, you know, having a cold, having a financial issue, having something in the family happen, I look back at what happened to me going through the cancer treatments, going through the mental anguish and the feedback that I got from friends and just the growth that I've had since then. I realize that I can really get through pretty much anything God throws at me, and He's going to be there for me to help me do that. It's a step that when you go through it, it really does change your life. I'm not the Keith that I was before. There were a lot of things that were important to me prior to hearing those three words that are not so important to me now. And so you get a different picture on life. There's a lot of growth to it. And you can either accept that growth or you can fight it.
So no matter what the challenge is, as the Lord brings you through it, you realize that there are going to be things that are different about your life, whether it's physically, emotionally, even spiritually. There are things that may be different as the Lord brings you through it, but it's not necessarily a bad thing.
The growth is not a bad thing.
Right.
The cancer is definitely a bad thing, but the growth is not a bad thing. It really is something that can help you and change you for a positive if you accept it as what it is.
Karen, what are some misconceptions that we might have about life after cancer?
I think the biggest misconception that folks have is that on the last day of treatment, you're done. The truth is that on the day a person's diagnosed with cancer, they are probably healthier on that day than they're going to be for the next year to year and a half or more of their life. And the treatment may only last 5 or 6 months, but the impact that the treatment ends up having on a person's body takes a long time to fully recover from. And once you do get to the other side, your body's still not the same. And needless to say, that issue of I'm so thankful that God has gotten me through this cancer, and isn't this incredible? And yet there's this other piece that's kind of like, but I certainly don't feel like I'm through it. My body doesn't feel like I'm through it. Number one side effect of cancer is fatigue, which typically they end up saying will last at least as long as you were in treatment or up to a year or more.
Wow.
And I'm not talking about a little bit tired. I'm talking about there are days where you just have to lay down at 3:30 in the afternoon, you know, and take a nap because your body can't keep going. And so it's hard to find a treatment for cancer that fatigue doesn't end up making an impact. And so that was some of what really inspired this idea that we needed to start to serve the survivor community directly. Folks would end up coming to our support groups, the cancer companion support groups that were survivors, and they would have this realization that they never really had talked about their cancer. They never really had done that because as a society, we have this relief with our loved ones that they're through it and that it's done. There doesn't feel like there's a need to go back and talk about this horrible thing that we all just went through. And yet I think for the growth to happen, much as you're listening to Keith talk about, it comes from processing what I've just been through, not shoving it underneath a rug and moving on.
Keith, you were going to say something about that, those misconceptions and life after cancer.
Yeah. When you go through the treatments, whether it's chemo, whether it's surgery or radiation, each of those is going to have a physical and mental effect on you. For me, I am still dealing with the radiation 7 years after I finished the treatment. Because of the amount of radiation that they had to give me to eliminate the prostate cancer in my body, one of the big things that happened is it really did a job on my lower colon. Okay. So I've been passing blood for 7 years, and so even though I know in my heart, and my doctors tell me that the damage is not as great as I think it is, when you have a situation where it comes back to you every 6 weeks or 7 weeks, and you have an episode where you're passing blood, it reminds you, you're not done with this. Mm-hmm. This is going to be with you. And so a retreat as the type that Karen's put together is really something that will allow us all to come out and just explain to each other, okay, this is what I've been going through, and it is not, it's normal. It's part of the process of getting through cancer, and we can help each other understand that, because a lot of us have gone through this, and we haven't had somebody to talk to about.
Mm-hmm. What about when we face those, Karen, when we face those tough realities, whether it's hearing you have cancer for the first time or in, you know, life after cancer and still facing some, you know, somewhat frightening symptoms like, you know, like what Keith shared, both can really make us face the fact that we are mortal, and that's a tough question to face. What does Cancer Companions offer when we start facing those questions of mortality?
Well, the major theme that we're and verses that we're ending up using for the retreat has to do with that concept of an abundant life. And if you go back and you look at those verses in John 10:10, it'll end up telling you that part of that abundant life is not being able to turn away from the thief that's trying to rob you from it. And so how we cope with our own mortality, I think, becomes really, really important. And so what we're going to be doing at the retreat is stopping and taking a look at, Jesus didn't get you through this cancer for life to be horrible, for it to be bad, for it to be difficult, for it to be complicated. He got you through this life and through this cancer so that you can now end up having this abundant life. And so you can hear much of the way Keith is talking, that's what he seizes on, you know, but not everybody gets to the end of that cancer treatment and seizes on that kind of perspective, that Jesus has more to be able to give me. And so I think that the tendency for survivors can be to pray less boldly, because, you know, of course my body's going through this, or of course my relationships are different, or of course my boss is treating me different. I've been through cancer. But the truth is that the Lord still wants to continue to give us just an abundant life that has to do with the riches of a full, full faith. And that's what we want to take the time with all of our survivors and their loved ones to be able to focus on.
And as he gives us those so that we might serve him, serve our neighbor joyfully, serve him, and that in this, whether it's an affliction or whether we see it as an affliction or not, that we might bring glory to him in our service.
Yeah. Exactly. But by drawing closer to him, which is really where the abundance comes from, the closer that we end up being to the Lord, the closer that we end up seeing where Jesus is walking around in our life with us, the more that we want to give and do. You know, I think that sometimes survivors can get that mixed up. They can go away from their survivorship with a feeling of survivor guilt, right? That, I mean, it's easy to sit here and make a list of people that we know that have died from cancer. Well, these survivors didn't, you know, and so why didn't they? What was Jesus up to? What's the Lord up to that these folks are the survivors that are still here? And so I think there can become a burden that comes that I'm supposed to go out and do X, Y, or Z. And so part of what we've done with the retreat and the Bible study we're going through is like, it's not about doing, it's about drawing near. It's about drawing close to him. And as we draw closer and closer to him, we start to feel the abundance of a life where we're walking close with Jesus. And through that, we start to do, right? And so it's kind of like, rather than focus on, Jesus, why did you get me through this? What am I supposed to do with my cancer? What if we said, Jesus, you got me through this just to hug me closer, just to draw me closer to you. And while I'm feeling so close to you, I can't help but do. And so that's kind of one of the things that we're really looking at, too.
Some other things you're covering at the Cancer Survivorship Retreat, nutrition and fitness. Why are these important after surviving cancer? Why is fitness and nutrition important? Karen?
I am so glad you asked, because that's part of my passion of wanting to make this a holistic approach. When you go out and you look at the studies, you look at the actual research out there about what keeps the cancer from coming back. I mean, that's like the magic question, isn't it? What can we do to be able to make it not come back? And there's lots of issues out there about don't do this and do this, but the two areas that come up with highly significant results is weight, that you want to be not too heavy and not too thin, right? You want to be a healthy weight, and you want to have consistent exercise in your life. And so those two factors obviously boil down into nutrition and fitness. And so we want to be able to not only teach folks this is what that healthy lifestyle looks like, we also take some time at looking at Bible verses that kind of point us towards what's keeping us from doing that. Because my guess is I'll be able to go around that room at the retreat and we could ask everybody when they walk in the door, do you know how much you're supposed to be exercising and do you know what you're supposed to be eating? And most of them would probably answer, yeah, I pretty much do, but they're not doing it. You know, they're not doing it. And we all have those phases in our lives when we're not doing that thing that we know that the Lord is asking us to do to keep our bodies healthy. And so we're going to take some look at that too. So,
Keith, after the treatment, were there questions that you had about nutrition and exercise and overall general health beyond the cancer that the questions that you had about that after the treatment?
Absolutely. I mean, for most guys that are diagnosed with prostate cancer in their 70s, their doctor says, go on and live your life. You're gonna survive and you're going to die something else. For somebody that was my age being diagnosed, it was either deal with it or you're going to die of that. So when I actually got through this and I started talking to my internal medicine doctor and my oncologist, they were very clear. It says, The thing that can help you survive, all especially the after effects that I explained earlier, is a healthy living style. And it's, you know, the things you put in your body and the things you do with your body are gonna help define what is going to happen internally. So although I know I don't do what I know I'm supposed to do, like Karen said, I know that the efforts that I've put towards that over the time that I've been a survivor, I think will gel even more the more I get into a healthy living style. And that young lady that's coming out to help us with the healthy living style and the exercise, Terry St. Amon from the YMCA's Live Strong program, she is an adamant pusher for me. I've known her for 20 years, and she knows that I need to be pushed, and she has a tendency to do that, you know, to get me healthy again.
So sometimes when it comes to nutrition or exercise, a healthy lifestyle, having that that external motivation, some of us need that external motivation.
Absolutely.
That makes sense. Well, glad that you have some great folks lined up for the retreat to help us with these topics when it comes to staying healthy after cancer.
Bye.
What are you looking forward to most about this retreat, Keith? We've just about 2 minutes left.
The thing I'm looking most forward to is meeting other folks that have dealt with cancer and being able to reach out and do what I know God's been blessing me to do, is to speak to them and help them through their journey.
Karen, how about you? What are you looking forward to most?
I'm looking forward to that same kind of thing, of them being able to learn from one another. You know, we put a lot of effort into great speakers and good Bible studies and materials and all that kind of stuff. But there's no question that the real growth comes from being able to sit with one another and support each other in prayer and worship and fellowship and just all that great stuff we're going to do. So,
well, very good. How can we find out more about the upcoming Cancer Survivorship Retreat, Karen?
Easiest way would be to go to our website, and that is cancer and then a dash companions with an S. .org, and as soon as it pops up on the homepage, you'll see there's a screen right there about the retreat that says learn more. Just click on learn more and it'll take you to all the information that you want to know. We have folks that are coming that can come only as a commuter. If you'd like to just come and spend Friday evening and Saturday with us, that would be great. Or if you would like to spend Friday night, it's just a one night retreat, not two. It basically goes from 5 o'clock on Friday, the 4th of November, until 5 o'clock on Saturday, the 5th. So please feel that you can come and stay and enjoy the space of being away from everything, or just come and enjoy the programming.
Registration on the website, cancer-companions.org. What else do we need to know about registration? Any other information we need to know to prepare for this? It's coming up on November 4th and 5th.
Yes. There's three different prices. So there'd be one for getting a single room, another price for being able to stay double in a room. You just tell us who you'd like to have for your roommate. The other price is for a commuter price as well.
All right. Very good. Cancer-companions.org. Find out more information there about the upcoming Cancer Survivorship Retreat, November 4th and 5th. Our guest today, Karen Tripp, president of Cancer Companions. Karen, thanks so much for being my guest today.
Great, as always. Love being here.
And Keith Whittemore, board member for Cancer Companions, American Cancer Society in St. Louis, and cancer survivor. Keith, thanks so much for being my guest today, sharing your story with us.
Thank you, Andy.
It was a pleasure to have you both on today. Blessings on the upcoming retreat. Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word. Pastor Whedon's going to study God's Word with a guest. Hope you can join us. You're listening to Worldwide KFUO.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.